When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
You know, I just heard Dave Murray, Fred, and I'm not allowed to. I was told many, many decades ago by a meteorologist in Milwaukee that I am not allowed to interpret the radar because I'm not a meteorologist. And I was kind of, I think that was said in a joking way, but maybe not in a joking way.
Only the dew point.
Right, because I'm a dew point master. But look, if you look at the map right now, there's an amazing amount of rain from across the country. A lot of it right now is heading toward Indianapolis and Lafayette, Indiana, and apparently the new home of the Chicago Cubs, the Chicago Bears, Hammond, Indiana. But like all the way up through Iowa, and I mean, this goes straight up to the top of Wisconsin and into Minnesota. To me, it's cloudier than it was a couple hours ago, but there's no rain that's necessarily in the forecast right now. And it says if you look at the hourly, you know, like 15%. My daughter's supposed to have a swim meet tonight. And then the chance of rain increases overnight. What's Dave saying for the rest of the week? Okay, 90 tomorrow, so that's going to feel like summer. 94 on Wednesday. 92 Thursday. Back into the 80s for a few days, and it looks like next week's not that bad at all because we're in the mid-80s. Hey, if we're not, you know, clipping in the 90s right now, and if we don't have to play, you know, our, I think this is something that's required by the law, Fred, as you know.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
That's what we have to legally, you know, start the show with when it's triple-digit heat indices.
And that,
or
we're going to have that this week.
Yeah, we might have that, right? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, they're saying it's going to be some feel likes around 100.
But it's June, so we can deal with that. So Sue is not here today. I was unaware that Sue... When was this decided that Sue wasn't going to be here? Did she tell us last week?
We heard it Sunday night. She did a group text to you, me, and Ethan.
I must have ignored that one, because in fairness, there were a lot of group texts going back and forth this weekend. So
you should have put a funny animal in it, and then you would have responded.
I probably would have, if that were the case. So literally... 90% of the stories that I have, like I'm saving stories for the weekend, and I know, not you know, I'm not trying to show any disrespect toward you, Fred, but I know that there are stories that Sue is going to like just because I know
right.
Sue. So there's one, and I'm going to save this one because this was in the New York Times. I think we'd all react to this. The headline was, "How healthy are peas?" Right? My response would be, "It doesn't matter. They're disgusting." But I thought Sue might have an opinion on that. I've got a great story, and I think I'm going to save this for tomorrow, about driverless trucks in Arizona delivering pets. Pepsi and Pepsi products. And that's, you know, we're going to do Tech Talk Tuesday with George tomorrow. The you have not been to Barcelona, correct?
No, but so, I've got some good
Spain
stories.
So, well, Familia, Sagrada Familia is almost complete. Like, it only took 144 years, literally.
Well, better than your twisty-turny.
Well, that's true. My road took long. But look, they when I was there 3 years ago, not quite finished. Now it's finished. But, you know, a lot of people in Spain, they don't like the tourism. They've had enough with tourists. They spray the water guns at them and stuff like that. So I'll save that for Sue. So basically what I'm saying is that everything that I've had for the show today is not something I want to do because I want to wait for Sue to be back tomorrow. But there is something that I can talk about. And I was going to kind of save this one, but I do find it somewhat interesting. And I'm going to frame this around. And by the way, I can frame it very accurately because I Googled it. So I think a lot of you know, and Fred, you know that I have this thing against experts, right? Because the experts tell us things all the time, and they're simply not true. And I think the best example of that real life recently would be COVID. We were all scared to death by, and there was early point in that, certainly, that there was unknowns and a lot of people dying. I would acknowledge that. But it wasn't too long, you know, before we realized what really was happening, and certainly the claims against the vaccine and all that other stuff and the masking. It's just one of the more, you know, horrifying periods in our country's history. And we'll go down as that, unfortunately. You have kids that are behind because of it. I mean, some of the things that we were told to do, it's just outrageous.
I can't remember. I know you did months of your show
from a year
at home, a whole year at home. At what point did you say, I really think I should be at work?
You know, Fred, what's funny about that is I think about that every once in a while because my office, my music room, that's where I did the show from. And I'll walk back there. It's a little weird because I have to go to the unfinished part of my basement and to get back there. The guy who built that room is very mad at me for that, but it's just the way that it is. But I will often, or if I'm giving a tour of that room, because, you know, that's where all my records are and stuff, I'll say, I cannot believe that I did the show for an entire year. I remember doing prep, and then I would hit golf balls in my basement because I have a net in there, and then
that's
do prep, and then I'd watch TV. I'd go outside. I became very good at cleaning up the backyard with the dog doo-doo because I did it every day. And there was at one point mentally I convinced myself, you know what? This isn't too bad. I can do this every day from now on. Pfft, that stopped right after, you know, too long. But the experts bother me because, again, they get it so wrong. And the experts, when it comes to climate, they always want to blame global warming, climate change, those of us who are purportedly causing the planet to warm up by using CO2, right? And then you see a story like this over the weekend in the LA Times, and it's just amazing. It really is. And I won't even give you the headline first because I'll tell you about Bruce Menge, who is a guy that for much of his career assumed he would conduct the same research until he died. He's a marine biologist, and he has studied sea stars since the 1970s. And they had always seemed more solid a bet than others in the ocean. The way he describes it, they have no natural enemies. They regenerate limbs when they lose them. They reproduce prolifically. So just over a decade ago, there was a disease that wiped out 90% of the West Coast sea star population. Tide pools, empties. This was his entire life's work, right? He didn't know what was going to happen. He said, I was upset. I thought these animals were immortal. So he's 82 now, and the way they describe him is he's 82, but he clambered over a mussel bed one windy morning in mid-May faster than any of the biology students working alongside him. He took a seat in a spot that would soon become part of the Pacific Ocean. He peered down at something he hadn't seen much of in decades, and he's been coming to this Oregon coast tide pool for a long time. And he finds this teeny tiny sea star. It's no bigger than his fingernail. And this is in the aftermath of research that he published 5 months ago that shows that five-legged sea stars were undergoing not only a baby boom, but a significant baby boom. The tide pools are now denser than they were before the disease that wiped them out. The juveniles were eating mussels and clearing space for other species. In short, what was happening was not a bad thing. It was a good thing. Nature figured it out. Maybe the warming ocean had something to do with it, but then what did the warming ocean do to all the sea stars that came back? Because now they are in record numbers, and he doesn't really understand it completely. So they're, you know, forecasting a warm summer and an El Nino. They say either one of those things could spell trouble, but this was some sort of thing, and they describe it in here, that going back to 2014, they've been looking at things that they were looking at for a long time, and he noticed something that was weird. and they started, you know, taking on some different looks, and then they were disappearing. So he became concerned. He started doing the research on that. But he finishes by, you know, kind of going up and down the Oregon coast in California every 2 weeks, and he's looking at things and animals that were affected. And this goes on for a long time. But then several years ago, things started going in the other direction. And they do mention, you know, the early days of the disease happened during a marine heat wave and an El Nino that killed off kelp species. Sea stars in the warmest parts of the ocean did suffer more, but they did, you know, die in cooler waters as well. But the bottom line here is that, you know, these things are back, and they're back bigger than ever. They don't exactly know the answers. But then you would ask yourself, well, how did they know the answers to why the sea stars disappeared in the first place? Can you have confidence in that? My answer would be no, you can't, because we can't explain all these things. And I know research is trying to come up with patterns, but I find it interesting. This is in the Washington Post, by the way. I'd love for it to be in the LA Times, because the LA Times is the publication, and I think they may have backed off on this, that declared, what was it, 10 or more years ago, that we're not going to publish anything that is counter to the narrative, because climate change is settled science, right? And that's all there is.
A couple things I find amazing about that story. First, that at age 82, he could detect a sea star.
The size of your fingernail.
Size of your fingernail.
Yeah, right.
Underwater.
I know. Yeah, I know.
And the other thing is that he gets around so easily.
So he says he uses a ruler, in a small scale. He notes each star's particulars in pencil. You know how they're called starfish? He doesn't call them starfish, okay? He goes, a few great scientists do, but he says he will not call a sea star a starfish because they're not fish. Okay. I'll give him that, right? Yeah. Over the years, his team has compiled one of the most robust data sets in existence on the five-legged ochre sea star, which is known for its tenacious rock clinging, Fred, and its appetite for mussels. So they went back to the same site so often, they were recognizing the same individual animals. And he goes, there's one with a split Y-shaped arm. I weighed that one many times. But in late 2014, he observed that some of the stars at his sites had twisted arms and they had lost grips on the rocks. And that's when, you know, the disease came in and kind of wiped it out. By late summer of that year, 93% of the sea stars were affected. And they say, Fred, that billions, you know, because these things are so small, billions of sea stars from 20 different species were lost. And that's just between Alaska and Baja. But again, now it's the other direction. And they can't really explain why it's happening
in the
other direction.
That's crazy. I think I missed that the first time around. Hey, I've got one thing. You brought up Spain. You know, the Pope is in Spain.
Yes.
This week.
Pope Leo. I do know that.
Two sports things with him. He was on the plane flying over to Spain. They asked him what his take was on the Bears moving.
Oh, absolutely. I'd want to know that. Do we have audio on that?
Yeah, the audio was so bad.
Okay, all right.
It was so off.
What did he say?
He said, that's above his pay grade.
Okay, well, good answer there, right?
And then they asked him who he's going to cheer for at the World Cup. He said, well, I'm a U.S. citizen, so I'm going to root for the United States. But then I saw him in Spain say he was going to root for Peru. And then one other thing, when he was in the...
That's what politicians
that's
do,
right.
You know.
When he was riding in the papal limousine, the Pope mobile in Spain, someone threw him a T-shirt with the Chicago Bears on it. And when he saw
it,
he just yelled out real loud, "Da Bears."
Da Bears.
Real loud, which
isn't
is weird
for
to
the
think you can
Pope
hear
can do that?
The Pope can say "Da Bears."
Is he there coincidentally with Sagrada Familia, or is that like tied in?
I don't think so.
Okay. Isn't that amazing that thing is finally done,
yeah,
though?
Yeah. You said it's beautiful, right?
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it really is. It's stunning. But, I mean, I think it's going to be even more stunning without the construction equipment that was around it for a long time. But we'll mention that tomorrow with Sue, because she's been there, and it is quite a sight. My listeners who took the trip with me to Spain a couple of years ago got to enjoy that. That was the day that Obama and Spielberg was there.
That's right.
And it was crazy. It really was.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop.
companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
All right, yeah, Suze News, Ethan is going to take care of that in just a minute. You know, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. We'll bring it up with Frank Cusumano later this hour. Just getting into the Knicks game is really going to be a big problem because Trump is there. I had a friend of mine who is in communication with a friend of his who's there. And he says, and Fred, you might even know some of this because you've been in New York quite a bit lately. The closest access to Penn Station, so people can't take the train home beginning at 5 p.m., which is 4 p.m. our time.
Because it's right underneath Madison Square Garden.
Right. A five-block radius around Madison Square Garden we blocked off. No one without a ticket can get in for five-block radius. So that'll be interesting tonight, I think. There are some people who, well, Ann Coulter is not exactly a Trump fan anymore. She used to be, but she ripped him, saying it's one of the most selfish things that he's done. And then in more examples that the world has turned upside down, I thought I heard Whoopi on The View actually defending Trump, saying he's a Knicks fan, so he should be there. So I don't know. I can't keep up with all of it. All right. You ready here, Ethan?
Bring it on, baby.
Damn well better be.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
On the title on the YouTube stream, I changed Sue's News to Ethan's News, but I forgot to change Brought to You by Ethan, so it's still Brought to You by Sue.
That's okay. That's probably appropriate.
Happy National Best Friends Day. Isn't that sweet?
Aw.
Best Friends Day falls on June 8th each year to honor your closest and dearest friends. So be sure to text whoever is your best friend today.
Who was your best friend?
What if you have multiple best friends?
That's a good question. Are you guys strict on the whole, you know, you can only have one best friend? Are you allowed to have multiple best friends?
I have people in my orbit that would be, there's five people in my orbit that would be super tight with me. But my friend in Vegas, Rick, we're probably the tightest.
I think that's a difference between men and women. I think guys have friends that fill certain needs. This is my hunting friend. This is my baseball friend.
Mm-hmm.
This is my political friend.
I think to a certain extent that happens, yeah.
you know, just judging from my wife, her friends fill all those needs.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, guys are weird, right?
We're different. I would consider myself having probably 3 or 4 best friends. Yeah, so it isn't just as simple as one anymore. Used to be, but not anymore.
I was best man at 3 weddings.
Okay, so that says a lot, Fred. I was going to bring that up. I barely cracked the usher tier on the weddings. You know, and that's a bad feeling. It really is.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for bringing that up. Sorry. Have you been a best man yet?
No, but my best man hasn't gotten married, and it's been clear for a long time that
quid
we
pro
will
quo
be each other's.
Yeah, I get it.
Best All right. men. If you are looking to freshen up a room with a new color of paint, you're not going to pick something that reminds you of green snot that you've experienced when you've had a horrific cold. Sherwin-Williams has just named its loneliest color. They're calling it that because it just sits on the shelf and is rarely purchased and used. Officially, the color is called Offbeat Green. It looks like, how would I best put
well,
this
color
in the pictures?
I think you did already.
Broccoli or asparagus soup.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
It's even less appealing than what you're picturing. Sherwin-Williams describes it as, quote, a vivid citric lime green that reflects a growing desire for individuality.
I think this is one of those things that Sherwin-Williams is doing for a PR stunt and they're getting us to talk about, because you really don't have colors of paints that are sitting on a shelf. You have paint that they will mix the colors into, and they're probably saying this is just not one of our popular colors, right?
Well,
to draw attention.
They certainly are trying to sell it, because for what it's worth, they're raising the profile by working with LeBron James's foundation.
Oh, my.
They will be using it, including on the front door. And they're also using the loneliest color angle in their new campaign. If you order Offbeat Green, you'll be entered into a sweepstakes for a chance to win a basketball signed by LeBron, limited edition apparel, and a $1,000 Sherwin-Williams gift card.
That's a big campaign.
Exactly what you just said.
That'll work.
They are really trying hard to increase the appeal of green snot.
Or the appeal of Sherwin-Williams.
Offbeat Green. Yeah. The world seems to have accepted the rumor that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are getting married in New York City, but what about the venue? If Page Six can be believed, they're going about as big as you can in New York, Madison Square Garden. This is according to multiple sources, one of whom said, quote, "Everyone's been sworn to secrecy." The alleged wedding date is Friday, July 3rd. A source says the potential plan is for guests to be transported to MSG on blacked-out buses. The arena was also chosen for its multiple entrances and, quote, highly secure infrastructure.
That's interesting.
Also, quote, if you have billions, you can transform the space into a wedding venue. MSG doesn't have any events booked from June 29th through July 6th, so there could be some truth to these reports.
So tonight's sort of just a warm-up.
I guess so,
warm-up act
with all
the
security.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that the most famous couple in the world would end up getting married in a basketball arena.
It doesn't seem right.
It doesn't?
This may be a curveball. Don't you
this
think?
This feels like something that's going to happen on a beach.
Well, because
in like California.
That's not really, that's not an intimate setting unless you're going to open it up to the fans, right? So you're either going to fill the arena, which is you're not, or you're going to have part of the arena with your friends and fans. I don't know. I don't believe it. I think they're leaking things that aren't true.
Do you know how many seats are approximately off the top of your head, MSG?
18 or I don't know.
It's got to be more than that,
you
right?
Think so?
I would
you
bet
might
it's
be surprised.
Probably closer to 22.
Let's find out, Ethan. You know what?
Either way, that I hadn't thought about that. Like, you just have stadium seating? Like, it's a concert?
19.5.
19.5, okay. Wow, all right. I was surprised by the United.
You can get up
United
to 20.
Center.
If you got floor seating, you get up to 20.
I was surprised
21, 22.
By how big the United Center was when I went and watched a Blues Blackhawks game a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It's in the low 20s compared to the Enterprise Center, which is like, what, mid-18? So, I don't know, kind of interesting. Okay, well, there's more Taylor Swift news. I don't know what's wrong with me today.
You want to play the
just
music
trying
now?
To emulate Sue's news in just 1 second.
Okay.
So, if you haven't heard, Taylor Swift's new song for the Toy Story 5 soundtrack is called I Knew It, I Knew You. This came out on Friday and is categorized as country. And that's drawing some debate. So let's go ahead and listen to a little clip of it.
I didn't hear this yet, but I heard that, you know, maybe a little bit throwback to her roots in country. Here we go. I remembered I loved you. Came back when it mattered. I saw you standing there in the light of the window. I like it. So what's the controversy?
That's what I'm kind of wondering, because it gives off country vibes. It gives off roots vibes to me. And I like it, too. She's, of course, in Taylor fashion, she's broken multiple streaming records. On Spotify, it became the most streamed country song in a single day by a female artist. Amazon Music, it had the largest 24-hour streaming debut for any song globally on the platform this year. And then on Apple Music, it set the all-time record for the biggest soundtrack single by first day streams and the biggest country single of 2026 so far. So I don't know necessarily what the controversy is. I guess maybe some people are saying it's not country enough. I don't know, it sounds pretty country.
I just put it on a playlist. You know what's interesting, just observationally, that you know who didn't mention this song at all and didn't listen to it the whole weekend? My daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's weird. It is.
It's kind of surprising.
She's moved on a little bit with some artists, so I don't know.
Is she still a big Benson Boone fan?
Not as much as last year.
Wow.
There's evolution going on.
Because you guys went and saw him in concert, didn't
she
you?
She did. Yeah, she did up at Summerfest in Milwaukee.
Okay.
You know, and it's kind of a confusing, blurry time when it comes to country music and pop music. Because I'm hearing country on Y98.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, not... A lot of people who are purists, like Sue, probably would throw the red flag on a lot of that. But that's got a little country flavor to it. You know,
I think there's
her songs are always poppy anyway.
There's a lot of trending music right now that are by modern country artists that would consider themselves kind of in that mix. But it certainly isn't the old country or even, you know, the Toby Keith, Jason Aldean. I don't think you're hearing much of that on Y98 still these days. Got to give some birthday shout outs and some on this day in history. Tony Hinchcliffe is 42 today. Kanye West, 49. Boz Scaggs is 82. Nancy Sinatra, Frank Sinatra's daughter, is 86. Barbara Bush, it would have been her birthday today, as well as Joan Rivers. And now some on this day in history. 181 years ago in 1845, the 7th president, Andrew Jackson, died in Nashville, Tennessee. In 1861, Tennessee seceded from the Union. In 1968, James Earl Ray, who was wanted for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was captured and arrested in London. He would serve 30 years of his 100-year sentence before dying at the age of 70. In 1969, Brian Jones was fired from the Rolling Stones because he couldn't get along with other members of the band and was found dead in his swimming pool just less than a month later. And let's see, one more. In 1982, Baseball Hall of Famer Satchel Paige died at the age of 75. All right, it is random fact of the daytime. Man, a lot of good options here. Let's go ahead and roll with this one. Peacocks hunt, kill, and eat snakes, but they only actually eat them if they're hungry, but they will attack any snake that they come across.
Peacocks will.
Yes, peacocks.
Interesting.
Yep.
I had no idea.
And that's your
random fact for
news
you.
For the day.
Thank you, Ethan. I think Sue's going to be back tomorrow.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. I just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Many women struggle to access quality menopause care. The access gap is real. Women often wait months to see a specialist, face a lack of local care, or feel dismissed when seeking treatment. All while insurance may refuse to cover hormone replacement therapy, or HRT. The challenge has never been the medicine itself. It's been getting effective treatment into women's hands. That's where Muesli comes in. As a licensed telehealth brand, Muesli connects patients with board-certified doctors who review medical histories and prescribe personalized treatments 100% online with medications delivered directly to your door. Muesli's menopause lineup includes a variety of HRT options tailored to individual needs and preferences, including the estrogen pill, the estrogen cream, and the progesterone pill, making bioidentical, physician-guided menopause care simple and accessible. Because menopause treatment is about long-term whole-body health, patients can also message their dedicated doctor directly through the Muesli app for ongoing guidance and support throughout their treatment journey. Receive an exclusive 25% off your first order with code PODCAST25. Visit Muesli.com or download the Muesli app to start your menopause treatment plan today.
I mean, I have some audio today from Scott Pelley in this interview he did with the New York Times, which is, I mean, it's actually hilarious when you hear him and the naivete that he's trying to, I guess, put out there right now. I'll get to that here in a few minutes. But, you know, this is one of the moments. There's so many. When you think about Scott Pelley's reporting and how biased he was, I remember the episode with Moms for Liberty, Tiffany Justice.
Being evasive. What ideology?
Parents send their children to school to be educated, not indoctrinated into ideology.
What ideology are they being indoctrinated into?
Let's just say, children in America cannot read.
They often dodged questions with talking points. You're being evasive.
21% of Hispanic students are reading on grade level.
You're being evasive. What ideology are the children being indoctrinated into? What is your fear?
I think parents' fears are realized. They're looking at these books where sexual discussions are happening with their children.
So I can go on with that, but you heard the tone. Now, I would have respect for that form. That's like Mike Wallace journalism, right? Where he's kind of, he won't give up on asking the question. But they don't do that at 60 Minutes outside of with President Trump or conservatives. I mean, I believe, and Tiffany Justice is here, she's going to join us for a few minutes to reflect on the firing of Scott Pelley. I was always kind of wondering, Tiffany, why you guys did that in the first place, just because of the reputation. But there's no doubt that you got a hit job out of that, right?
Yeah, that's true. It was a hit job. Scott Pelley, very biased journalist.
So you must have some special feelings related to his firing from last week, right?
Well, it's, you know, so it's my second woke journalist that I'd like to say I've played a part in getting fired. I did go on Joy Reid's show around the issue of books as well, and she was fired shortly after my appearance there. So I'm hoping that by going and really, you know, making these woke journalists show their bias, that perhaps it's making people be fed up with them. So I hope I'm, you know, it's kind of a public service I'm doing now.
Hang on a second here. I don't want to be part of that pattern where I get fired, but I'm not a woke journalist, so I have that my advantage. But what do you remember about the 60 Minutes interview, kind of going in and the process and then what the finished product looked like, Tiffany?
Yeah, really funny. So, you know, all this talk of Scott Pelley, I've had a couple of people reach out for interviews. I just went back and reread the entire transcript. We filmed our own version of the interview, and then we actually had a transcript made from that. And so I wanted to remember exactly what it was that happened. He was fine outside of the interview. He was nice enough when he came in. He became extremely condescending and rude when we were doing the interview, and it became very obvious to me that really what he was trying to do was to marginalize us. He wanted to make us look like Looney Tune moms who, you know, he at one point he says, it's cut from the interview, he says, I don't think your name should be Moms for Liberty. I think it should be Moms for Telling Parents How to Raise Their Children or something. And so he was very condescending in the interview. And obviously, if anyone's seen the interview or some of the clips recently, you know, I'm reading from some of these books, and it's extremely graphic sexual content, Mark, right? I'm not going to repeat it now, but
no.
He sat there listening, and they cut it all. You know, they didn't show any of it. So.
It's ridiculous. It's the same thing that happens, and I know you've seen this across the country. Some caring parent will go up there to a school board and start reading this stuff, and the school board shuts them down because it's too embarrassing and it's adult content. And you're like, wait a second. And with 60 Minutes in particular, and this is what pisses me off with them, even the New York Times, when they do an article or they do a story about gender career, you know, Scott Pelley didn't put some slides in there about encouraging young kids, even younger than high school age, to engage in oral sex. And he didn't put the slides up there from some of these other books that have been controversial. They just wanted to slam you. They didn't want to offer any. I would have respect if he asked tough questions of you guys, and then turned around and asked some tough questions of some of the folks that are peddling this nonsense out there. I would have some respect for Scott Pelley, but that's not what happened. We know that.
No, that's not what happened. And so the only journalist that I've done an interview with, and we had done CBS Sunday Morning. We did, we've done a number of different interviews on the books. The only journalist who ever showed any of the pages of the books, obviously blurring some things, was Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo. So I give him credit there in doing that. Yep. But you're right. You know, I love the Florida law that was passed that said that if you read the book at the school board meeting and it was stopped, you you were stopped from reading it, it automatically had to be removed from the school. So that was a wonderful way to hold school board members accountable for their delicate ears not being able to take the sexually explicit content but still keeping it in the library. So big win. Florida's done really well on this issue. Scott, at one point, also really interesting, I'm talking to him during the interview, and I was telling him that our moms have just, you know, had a lot of persecution, and they've been treated very badly by President Trump, who I love, says the fake news, because the fake news lies. And I was sharing that with him, and I was sharing some of the ramifications of the SPLC hate map designation.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, one of our moms had the FBI call them and question them. And he said, no, they didn't. And I said, I'm sorry. And he said, no, they don't do that. The FBI doesn't call people. And I said, I don't. What do you mean, Scott? Like, obviously, you have no idea what you're talking about. And then I think at some point I just stopped arguing with him and just said, listen, I don't want to embarrass you. Like, you're wrong. But, you know, the FBI certainly did call one of our moms. So he presents himself as an expert. He was extremely rude and condescending during the interview. I say good riddance. Good for Barry Weiss. For firing Scott Pelley, and he had a producer who was equally biased. His name was Henry Schuster, and I hope he got fired too.
Look, the you bring something up, and I've talked about this for years because I've talked about media bias, but the people behind the scenes, the producers, the editors, the people making the calls, Bill Owens, who quit because he didn't think he could do his bias anymore. What's hilarious is, and I don't know, did you read the New York Times piece with Pelley? And what he said, I got some audio from that I'm going to share here. But he actually, this is really funny because this is the one that I put out there on Twitter. Here's a quote. "And there's a subtle political bias that I've never seen at 60 Minutes or at CBS News before." And my response was, "Have you not watched your own show?" I mean, for them, Tiffany, come on. For Scott Pelley or anyone at CBS to say something about that and political bias, and for people to, for one second, think that that's credible is unreal to me, that they have the cojones and the arrogance to do that. But I guess you sort of experienced that firsthand, didn't you?
Yeah, Scott lives in La La Land. He also likened being fired from CBS and some of the people being fired to losing your spouse, which, I mean, for anyone that's ever, you know, dealt with losing your spouse, how incredibly insulting is that? This is a job. People lose their jobs all the time, especially when they're insubordinate, which he obviously was and has been made very clear.
There's no doubt. Again, he didn't know. And then this, I'm going to play this soundbite. He didn't know that he thought, "I didn't know I was going to get fired. I didn't know I was risking getting fired." Really? He doesn't live in the real world. And a lot of these people don't live in the real world. The good news is, and I know this for a fact because I know some of the people behind the scenes, because unfortunately some of them went to school with me at the University of Missouri Journalism School, that a lot of those people behind the scenes have been rooted out as well. So I don't know what that really means in the end for the CBS News product. Again, I think some people out there on the left think that we're trying to turn this into, you know, like Breitbart or something like that. What a lot of us are asking for is simply fairness, right? Fairness in media. And you don't have that at 60 Minutes, unfortunately. And I think
you don't have
people
that.
You know that.
He asked a question. So you're right about asking good questions. One of the things that when he asked that question about what ideology are you concerned about, and then he asked me what parents were scared of, I wanted to answer the ideology question. If I could go back, I would answer it, and I would say Marxism, communism. There was a real question for us about whether or not in that interview we would be able to have enough time to be able to explain what we meant by that. And you have to remember when this interview took place, which was 2023, and people were still kind of wrapping their heads around what was happening with DEI and with critical race theory.
Absolutely.
Right? And so we were careful about how we handled that. And so that's why he was pushing with us. And so if I had to go back, I probably would have said it. I don't know how that would have changed the trajectory of the interview. What we really wanted people to know and understand was the fact that there was and continues to be, to a degree, a real effort to sexualize children. And that's bad. That's not something.
We have examples of it from libraries and from schools from the first week of Pride Week last week. And you're looking at some of these people that are dancing at drag shows. Do it if you're an adult, but don't do this to kids. It's outrageous. Somebody on Twitter said, "Well, isn't this sort of like the modern version of clowns?" And I said, "Well, I went to Bozo Circus in Chicago when I was a kid, and no, Bozo might have been a little creepy, but there was no sexualization. So I think that that's the difference." Tiffany, thank you so much. Enjoy a sip of wine or something in celebration of the demise of Scott Pelley, and we'll have you back again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care. Let me play this audio because I love this. Like, even the New York Times reporter is like, "Scott, really?" I mean, any respect that you, for those of you who have respect for Scott Pelley, and I've heard a lot of that, I'm like, guys, you don't really know the type of reporter that he is. But this should sort of tell you a lot right here.
Tell me about that meeting and if you were at that point going in expecting to be fired.
Oh, gosh, furthest thing from my mind. It hadn't occurred to me.
But it really didn't occur to you that you could be fired after so many of your colleagues had been let go, after you'd had this, very contentious interaction with your new boss?
You know, some reporter I turned out to be. I just didn't connect the dots.
I find that incredible that he didn't understand that the level of insubordination that he, 1 week ago today, you know, took part in, led the movement in that room, how he cannot believe that he was fired. Now, he talks about the bias here. We just gave you an example with Tiffany, and I could give you dozens of others, not only of Scott Pelley, but Bill Whitaker and the others at CBS, right? I mean, let's talk about the way he sucked up to Joe Biden in that report a couple years ago. It was all, you know, just fawning over him, making excuses for his deficiencies. So he doesn't even see the bias claims as legitimate.
What was the feeling about that particular opening salvo to the team.
Uh-oh. She, I am told, said something to the effect of, why do you think the country thinks you're biased? But she didn't offer any kind of a metric. You know, what's your metric? Why do you think so? Do you have a poll? Is there market research? What are you talking about? Because we certainly didn't believe that.
Oh, my God. That's how, I mean, that was not expected from me. I'm, by the way, I think he's lying. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing there and the type of journalistic malpractice that they take part in. It's not journalism, you know? And I've even admitted, like, Scott Pelley did a story a couple months ago about these hidden caves. I think they were in Vietnam. Really good reporting. It was good, right? But it's the politics where they're not good.
There's some moments of the day I feel fine. There are some moments of the day that I just frankly fall apart when I least expect it.
All right. I have no empathy for Scott Pelley, because if he's that ignorant about what they were doing at CBS and does not have any kind of, you know, comprehension of the level of bias that he was participating in, then he needs some, I think he needs some medical help, some mental help. Well, a lot of stuff to talk about with Frank Cusimano. Let's just start with a sweep of the Reds over the weekend. Frank, you texted me on Friday night. You said, I told you that pitching was bad, and certainly it didn't hold up. But it really wasn't the starting pitching, was it? It was the bullpen that got to the Reds.
Yeah, the starting pitching was horrible Friday night for the Reds, but the bullpen was bad. I think in the last 13 innings, they get 12 runs out of the relievers. So, yeah, I think it's one of these teams that's going to finish like 15, 20 games under 500 before it's all said and done. There's some good teams in the division, but I don't think the Reds are going to be one of them.
So, honestly, I did not watch as much baseball as I had been this weekend, and I want to ask you about Lars Nootbaar. How was his return?
It was very good, very productive, had a home run, had an extra base hit. And, you know, I go back to what Chaim Bloom said the other day, that he thinks that we haven't seen like the Lars Nootbaar from 2 years ago because of this double heel situation, and that we're going to see like the really younger version of Lars Nootbaar moving forward because he's finally healed. And even Lars mentioned to us yesterday in the scrum that it's like a Benjamin Button kind of aging, a reverse aging. He's actually younger now at 28 than he was, you know, when he was 26 and battling the heel stuff.
Yeah, that's weird. Interesting.
Frank, I want to talk about the Cardinals' usage of Hunter Dobbins. He was huge on Friday night for them. Got the win despite coming out of the bullpen, pitched 5 shutout innings, and as a result, he is going to be rewarded with a spot in the 6-man rotation as the Cardinals go through a long stretch here. I think this is their only off day, or one of their only off days, in the next 3 weeks. What are your thoughts on the utilization of the 6-man rotation and what we could see from Hunter Dobbins?
Well, you got to remember, he was the guy that Chaim Bloom insisted to be included in the trade with Boston and Wilson Contreras. And all you have to do is just look at the radar gun when he's on the mound. I mean, he's throwing 98 and he's challenging hitters. You know, his very first outing, I think it was against Pittsburgh, he was really, really good for like 3.5 innings, and then he had a lot of walks. But his last two outings have been brilliant, and you just have a feeling that if and when the Cardinals go back to a 5-man rotation, he's going to somehow be in there. I mean, if I were Kyle Leahy or maybe even Matthew Liberatore, you know, I would be concerned because it looks like Hunter Dobbins is for real.
Ethan and I talked about this a little bit earlier. I don't know if it's official, but the Victor Scott II is going to get sent down, correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. And when you're hitting 194 and the guy who's going to replace you is a better fielder and runs really well and hits than Nathan Church and he draws walks, you got to make that move. Look, Victor Scott is one of the most engaging fellows in the clubhouse. He's really a great guy. But he's got to get on base, and if you don't do it in the big leagues, you can't stay.
Frank, it makes me want to get into the weeds a little bit here. For the typical fan, they may not have heard the name Joshua Baez a lot yet, but I don't think that's very far away. One of the Cardinals' top prospects who's been mashing in AAA and has been playing a lot of center field as of late. What are the chances you think that we could maybe see Baez here in the near future?
Well, it's a great question. We're definitely going to see him in September. I think the interesting thing will be this, what happens at the deadline. Like, if Newt Barr goes on fire and you can acquire a lot of assets for him, then you move him. But there's also the possibility, and when you do that, you'd have Baez up here earlier. So it's either going to be in September for the call-up or at the trade deadline if they move Newt Barr. But I can promise you this. He's going to be the starting left fielder or center fielder in St. Louis, you know, for the next 5 years.
So the Cardinals are off today, and then where do they go? I can't remember.
New York.
Okay, the Mets. Okay. And the Mets are a little they've kind of put it together after the terrible start, right?
Yeah. I mean, they had that disastrous stretch, and they've definitely gotten better. But, boy, this is a Cardinal team that's just got some mojo, don't they?
I love it.
I asked
Jordan
Walker, by the way, real quick, in the clubhouse, if he ever, like, glances up at the scoreboard and sees that number 303 next to his name. Because, face it, there's just not a lot of 300 hitters in the big leagues, and there's not a lot that hit with his kind of power. And he said, I do everything I possibly can to not look at the number, but it's so big on that scoreboard, I do glance at it once in a while.
That's awesome. By the way, we should mention also, and this is, I guess, Dave Roberts gets the credit here. He's going to be the skipper of the National League All-Star team. And we know, I don't know about Jordan Walker. I think we're pretty convinced he'll be there. But Ollie's going to be there on the coaching staff, right?
Yeah, really cool. You know, Mark, you think about last year, there was a heavy percentage of fans who felt that Ollie should be lumped in with John Mozeliak and get rid of them both. I mean,
his
approval rating was so down, and now the way he engages with players, with fans, with the media, and it helps he's got good players now. You know, you don't win unless you have good players, and he's got some good ones now.
But you're not wrong about that, the way the voices were coming out not too long ago. Okay, game three tonight at Madison Square Garden. You probably can fly to New York quicker than you can to get into that game because Trump's going there. But that game on Saturday night in Las Vegas, as they are now up 2-1 over Carolina. They're up 4-0. I started watching, I think I was telling you, we were watching Cape Fear on Friday night. We watched the second episode, which, by the way, Frank, is not as good as the first one. But it's still 4-0. I turn it on. My wife goes upstairs. At one point, it's 4-1. I look away just briefly, and all of a sudden, it's 4-3. They score three goals, Carolina does, in 39 seconds, and they lose in double overtime.
Yeah, it was such incredible television. I do think, though, Vegas does have that mojo about them, and if they were to win game four and be up 3-1, I think it would be over. But it also would not shock me if Carolina wins game four and we have a 7-game series.
It wouldn't either me, because look, it looked like for a while, even on Friday, that maybe the Knights were going to be able to sweep this thing. But they're off today. They got game four of that series tomorrow. I mentioned the NBA's in action tonight. Frank, we'll talk on Friday. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care. And I didn't mention, you know, I guess I should have, but the Battle Hawks. You know, Ethan, I was telling Fred this. As big of a football fan, I didn't follow one minute of the Battle Hawks. And I guess they lost in the playoffs last night.
They did, and I think St. Louis is starting to be there as well. There was 18,000 there, which, don't get me wrong, for
it's
the UFL
terrible.
Is great.
Right.
But compared to what they were even at the beginning of the year, last year what they were drawing, the numbers aren't the same.
I wonder if they would have drawn better if the Cardinals just completely sucked, because
maybe
we would have looked to latch on to something.
Maybe, but either way, it was a fun sports weekend in St. Louis. You had the Bomarito 500 here last night. There was an international friendly in prep for the World Cup between Panama and Bosnia and Herzegovina, and that one drew very well. So it was, and then I don't know if you saw this. Major League Pickleball was at Chaffetz Arena over the weekend.
I almost went. By the way, speaking of, just real quickly before you get to the break, and I got a break, the SLU Mizzou game is now official.
Yep.
Enterprise Center, November 6th.
Get more at 971talk.com. Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Many women struggle to access quality menopause care. The access gap is real. Women often wait months to see a specialist, face a lack of local care, or feel dismissed when seeking treatment, all while insurance may refuse to cover hormone replacement therapy, or HRT. The challenge has never been the medicine itself. It's been getting effective treatment into women's hands. That's where Muesli comes in. As a licensed telehealth brand, Muesli connects patients with board-certified doctors who review medical histories and prescribe personalized treatments 100% online with medications delivered directly to your door. Muesli's menopause lineup includes a variety of HRT options tailored to individual needs and preferences, including the estrogen pill, the estrogen cream, and the progesterone pill, making bioidentical, physician-guided menopause care simple and accessible. Because menopause treatment is about long-term whole-body health, patients can also message their dedicated doctor directly through the Muesli app for ongoing guidance and support throughout their treatment journey. Receive an exclusive 25% off your first order with code PODCAST25. Visit Muesli.com or download the Muesli app to start your menopause treatment plan today.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.